words of my mouth. Thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One benefit for me of living in a house with members of the younger generation is that from time to time, things that are going on out there in the real world, it's told to me, are transmitted to me. So just a few days ago, my daughters drew my attention to the advert for PayWave, that supposedly liberating mechanism for paying for all things, whereby you only vaguely wave your card in the direction of a till, and automatically, as if by magic, the exact correct amount of money is removed from your account. Why we don't understand this to be troubling in the extreme, I have no understanding whatsoever. But what I found compelling was what was in the advert itself, the form of it, in which the mechanistic, indeed the robotic actions of the people in the video all ground to a halt when some less advanced poor soul decided to pay by cash. That thought of the perfection of this robotic mechanism. I'll come back to this chilling description of what it means to be human in a moment or two. On this, your patronal feast day, we can think of perhaps a no less robotic human than Peter. Just this week, the clergy and other members of the diocese have been gathered at Holy Cross Mosgiel for our annual ministry conference. And during a lecture on the Acts 2 Church from the Reverend Dr. Christopher Holmes of the university, Father Hugh very kindly pointed out to me that Peter in his sermon at Pentecost breaks every rule in the preacher's handbook, which is good news for me as your visiting preacher this morning. Because, of course, if Peter does it, then why on earth should none of the rest of us? This, of course, we are told, is Peter's role within the gospel. He is this most convenient clothes horse on whom we are all invited to lay our own failings as disciples of Jesus and thereby to excuse them. His refusal to accept that Jesus must die, which leads to the most stinging rebuke from our Lord, and, of course, his threefold denial. These, amongst other things, are held up as a reminder that this rock is far from rock-like, and that all our failings are thereby somehow perfectly acceptable behaviour. Such an approach, however, does a disservice to Peter. And I say this not as an act of politeness to your patron saint, but rather that purely to understand Peter in terms of his failings is untruthful. Peter, in and through the living word, reveals his devotion to Jesus and calls us to the same. We may remember that incident with the rich young man who turns away from Jesus' gracious invitation to give up all he has and follow him. And Peter declares truthfully, "Look, we have left everything and followed you," as he has along with the other disciples. Peter three times declares his love for Jesus, yes, haltingly, but with increasing exasperation, as Jesus continually asks that often. That Peter loves Jesus is in no doubt. And for this costly love and devotion alone, I think we might well say, if only we had more like Peter. Not primarily because of the virtue of devotion in and of itself, but because of its focus. Peter leaves his nets at the call of Jesus. His devotion, albeit fragile when enacted, is to Jesus, and it is for Jesus that he will at the last bear the fruitfulest martyrium, the witness to Jesus Christ at his own crucifixion in Rome. Peter, humanly speaking, is the lens through which the evangelists most sharply focus our attention upon Jesus Christ. And so for this aspect of his life and his witness, we may well cry out, "Oh, that our lives were indeed more like his." The further presentation during our week away was from Kevin Ward from Knox College on his research into the place of religion in our national life here in New Zealand. Amongst many all too sadly familiar statistics of decline and the inevitable rehearsal of the line, "People are spiritual nowadays, that is, not religious," to which we ought to read, "They are more individualistic than ever before." In the midst of all these observations were some findings on people's contemporary spiritual beliefs. For example, there is actually an increase in people who believe in some sort of life after death. There is an increase in those who believe in heaven. But that, one, belief in a personal God is on the decline. Secondly, that the understanding of God as a spirit or a life force was on the rise. And thirdly, that the belief in Jesus as the Son of God was also in decline. Of course, we do not need to be too close observers of the life and the liturgy of the Anglican Church in New Zealand to recognise how deeply these changes in the wider society are endemic in the life of this church. So reference to God by that name which is revealed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is sidelined for the deeply impersonal Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life. Thus, without a backward glance, Jesus Christ is wiped from our liturgical consciousness. Devotion to Christ becomes a rather quaint historical relic, as we are invited to shop for a psychotherapeutic, Christless, and thus more advanced spiritual faith. And so the church with us. For, as Jesus declares, it is precisely upon the confession of Jesus as the Messiah or the Christ, as the Son of the living God, it is precisely upon that confession that the church is built, or rather, it is upon that that Christ himself builds the church. The very foundation of the church is this confession as Jesus Christ as Lord, to the everlasting glory of God the Father, without which there is no life in the church, for Christ is her very life. Now, of course, in focusing upon Peter's confession, it may seem that I am coming down on one side of an age-old argument, which is this: is it Peter or his confession upon which Christ promises to build his church? Well, not so. For Peter and his confession cannot be so undone, however much we have been trained to think that we can. That move, that determination to see this as either or, as part of the philosophical undoing of word and person, of heaven and earth, and indeed the unweaving of the sacramental web of nature, which has increasingly bedeviled the church since the late Middle Ages. And it is in that undoing that we are denied the very life which we seek to declare. That only life, the one in whom there is life, the one who is the light of all people, the one whom the Father reveals to the faithful ones as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter's confession and who he is cannot be separated. We cannot be separated from our words. Our words, indeed, we are told, will be shouted from the rooftops. We are our actions, we are our words. Peter's confession of Jesus as the Son of the living God goes beyond mere words. It is lived out in his ongoing witness, person and word woven together. And it is through this, Peter's witness, Jesus then goes on to declare, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In this confession of the word of life made flesh, the participation of heaven in earth and earth in heaven is made abundantly clear, most apparently, of course, to the eye of faith in the Eucharist. Everything is held together in this confession, Peter's words and his action, and heaven and earth, bound or loosed. We live in dangerous times. Those advanced thinkers amongst the flock who seek often with good intent to disconnect the person of Jesus of Nazareth from the eternal spirit which we have come to call God, in so doing actually deny our true humanity, which can only be known in Jesus Christ, formed from mud, yet also God-breathed, fallible and yet capable of infinite devotion towards Christ, the pinnacle of creation, the joining place of heaven and earth, humankind made for eternal fellowship with the triune God, revealed to us in the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ. Where, most especially in the church, that is denied, we who are called to reveal the truth of human existence instead leave the door wide open to all those who would redescribe human beings in terms of machines, robots in a queue with our paywave cards. Quite literally, for our part, everything hangs together in and on the embodied confession of Jesus of Nazareth as the Son of Living God. This is the daily work of the Church in the pattern of our St. Peter.